بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Showing good akhlaq, good mannerisms, were the ways of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. A very distinct and outstanding quality was the akhlaq. And the essence of akhlaq is summed up in three things. Now first understand that akhlaq will be the weightiest things on the scale on the day of Qiyamah. We all want to gain weight, right? Here in this world we want to lose weight. And there we want to gain the weight. So we understood how to lose weight. But how to gain the weight there, that's even more important. Whether we lose the weight here or not, it's not so important. But Allah Ta'ala forbid, let it not be that the weight, there is no weight there on the day of Qiyamah. So now, how to pick up the weight on the scales on the day of Qiyamah, how to pick it up? The thing that is most effective is akhlaq, good akhlaq. Now we hear of good akhlaq, but then what is the essence? Because if we know the essence, then we know how to channel our efforts. Right? I need to get my acts right, but now how to start off, what to do, how to channel them, how to direct them, I need to have an idea. So good akhlaq is summarized in these three points. One is to show a good face. No matter who it is, but show a good face. Bastul waj. Even though you're upset, you're disappointed, whatever, but show a good face. Because 95% of the time when we're upset because of worldly reasons. 2-3% is about dini matters, but 95%, why the tea is cold, why you didn't come to work on time, what do you think of yourself, your shop this thing. So 95% of the time we are disappointed because of worldly reasons. So no matter what the person is, but we show a good face. Many a time just a good face wins the person. Show the good face, show good words and good face. So this is the one requirement of good akhlaq. The second requirement of good akhlaq is kafful adha, resist. Sometimes you're getting angry, you're getting worked up, person you feel is stamping your toes and he's overdoing it. Right? But on your side, what are you required to conform to the standards of akhlaq? You need to resist, hold back. You're feeling irritated, you're feeling disturbed, you're feeling disappointed, you want to say something, but you hold back. Now this holding back, this is relevant, this is very most important. Now to hold back and to think now what Allah Pak would like, what is Nabi Sam would like under the circumstance. Right? So when he likes it, then how must I conform to that standard? What must I do? That Allah Pak will be pleased and his Nabi Sam will be pleased. So how must I conduct myself? I'm going to use one language, one word, I will appease my conscience, but will that gain me the proximity of Allah Ta'ala? Right. Now, our Buzurgan Adeen, they speak a lot on akhlaq, good dealings, good mannerisms and values, because they say, one is a mistake that you have done in the rights of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim. He likes to forgive. Right? So there's no such a thing like Allah Ta'ala will keep it in mind. He'll forgive and everything is wiped out. He won't even remind you of it. But when you wrong a person, then one statement that is made, he may say, I've forgiven you, but does that make it forget? Make him forget? He'll still keep it in his mind, alright? This is what this person did or he had said in a certain occasion. So that thought surfaces repeatedly, it comes up again and again. And then that brings about that disappointment. Okay, this person, this is what he said, and this is how he acted and how he behaved on such an occasion. So then in this respect, akhlaq becomes even more important than amal. In some respects, good deeds are more important, but in some respects, then akhlaq becomes even more important than good amal. Right, that famous hadith where you hear that the person will come on the day of Qiyamah with mountains of good. Even mountains won't be able to bear their weight. But then, Ya'ati shatama hadha, akala mala hadha, wa sabba hadha. This person, he swore him, he insulted him, he ate up his wealth, right? His dealings were not right. As a result, everything is transferred to this person, and he's left with nothing. So, you see this good akhlaq. So the first is to show a good face. Right? No matter what, how constrained you are feeling, how hard you are feeling, but show a good face. And number two is to resist the anger. You do have that element of anger, now you have to resist. So now it's very hard. But then you want to really talk about Jannat, you want to say, I want Jannatul Firdaus, Jannatul Na'im. Don't you say that? And you want that, Allah Pak says, I've got it. But then you work for it, you will get it. No, I can't. Then if I don't want to give you the highest level of Jannah, then you mustn't complain. You want the highest level, then pay the highest price, and you will get there. So it's going to be difficult, but restrain yourself, hold back yourself. And holding back yourself is difficult, and the world is how it operates. No pain, no gain. You go through the pain, and you gain. So it's going to be, definitely it's going to be difficult. No way is going to be easy. Allah wants to see now, alright, in this hour of difficulty, how do you conduct yourself? How do you work yourself? And when you hear of the incidents of the Buzugan al-Din, Awliya-i-Kiram, then each one of them had his own trial. This person is being knocked and hit, battered, right? This person is sworn and abused. That person is insulted, right? That person, they make false accusations against him or against her, and they make sabr, and then they escalate, right? As Aisha says, that I never felt, she's young, about 13 years of age, and that accusation was leveled against her. She bore with patience, and then Allah Ta'ala revealed approximately 20 verses in respect of Aisha. So I thought the most will happen, that Allah Ta'ala will clear my name in the presence of Nabi Sam through a dream or something. But for 20 verses to be revealed just in my respect, that will be recited to the day of Qiyamah, right? I never expect this to happen. So you will do according to your limit, and Allah will grant according to His splendor and majesty. When we reason, we think according to our constraints, or this, how is it going to happen, how is it going to happen? Our mind is restricted, so we think restricted. But Allah gives, and He gives unrestricted. Immeasurable quantity gives. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Every other person's deeds will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. But the person that was patient, he resisted, he restrained, he held himself back, then his reward is given unlimited, no limits. You want to take, much you want to take, take. One is the boss called him, alright, you worked for 2 days, take your 5,000 and go. That was one person. Right? And the other person said, the boss said, open the treasure. Go and take, take. How much you say? Take, how much you want? You want to bring a truck and take everything, how much you want? So, this is for that person who was patient. You are for sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. No reckoning, no limits. Just take, go on taking and taking until you get tired. My reserves will never get depleted. You go on taking. But that is for who? For that person who bore with patience. Right. So the second aspect of good akhlaq and good character is patience, is resisting. Right. One is to show a good face, one is to resist. And the third aspect to perfect this good akhlaq is bazlul ma'ruf. to show kindness. Kindness, whichever type of kindness, sometimes money, sometimes good advice, sometimes you give the person time, sometimes you directed him, you shown him something, right? So whichever way, whatever it costs you to lead the person towards some kindness, some good work, so direct the person in your work, in your operation, in your wealth, in your energy, in the blessings that Allah Ta'ala have granted you. So how are you going to be kind to people? Ahsin kama ahsana Allahu ilayk. Sometimes it is wealth, right? Sometimes it is your strength, right? Sometimes it is your energy. One woman was complaining, you know, Ramadan time, that I prepared Ramadan delights. And one person or something bought that book from me, and then she made the thing go viral, the whole world took the Ramadan delights. I lost out. So I explained that woman, by thank Allah Ta'ala, that every person is going to read your recipes, they're going to remember you at the time of iftar, crunch time. At the time that the dua is going to get accepted, at that time, they're going to remember you. Had your kitab been sold like this, they wouldn't have thought of it. Alright, we bought the thing, 30 rands, 40 rands. But now you're going to get so much of reward. Everybody will read your recipe book, and they said, oh, we got it free of charge, and they'll appreciate that. At that crunch time, at the time that the rosa is being broken, duas are getting accepted, they read that auntie's some cuisine or something, and they prepared it accordingly, and it became so enjoyable. The father, the husband enjoyed it, the wife enjoyed it, everybody enjoyed it. Right? Now, when I discussed this with some ladies at home, they tell me, no, no, man. It's a different thing. Amongst women, it's a different thing. If they got a recipe, then they call it a poison recipe. They can't share it with anybody. If you want that, they'll prepare it and give it to you. For example, a donut, right? They'll prepare it and give it to you. But the recipe, how it's prepared, they can't give that to you. Now, here the Quran Sharif is saying, Ahsin kama ahsana Allahu ilayk. Allah Ta'ala was good towards you. You be good to people. Your business is not going to get affected. That's just your doubt. It's just your naivety that's taking you in this direction. Okay, I'll show the next person, then I'll go down. What is meant for you, you'll get. What is meant for him, you will get. But you have the heart to share. Share ideas, share ways, recipes, whatever. But have the heart to show. Who knows that kindness of yours, that may earn you your jannat. Small little acts of kindness. Bukhari Sharif word comes, tasna ali akhrak. Man doesn't know it. Anari kisam ka admi, he doesn't know it. And you guided him. Something about medication, for example. Or you must do this, do this. Now, if you were to take it purely as a commercial thing, then now you put the person through the hole, put him through his paces, and let him spend 50,000 rand, and come out of it, right? But you can show it to him in 10 rands. You can show it. You can make a plan for him, all right, do this, you get this thing right. But no, but I'm going to lose out 50,000 rand. That means that akhirat, the sawab, and the hereafter is not before us. We don't understand that. The picture of the hereafter is too blurred. It's clouded. So we don't know what's the reality. So therefore we talk like that. But to lead the person on, alright now, Bazlul Ma'ruf, alright. Allah gave me, let me give people. Allah blessed me, let me bless people. So this is the very essence of akhlaq. Now amongst akhlaq, there's one important thing that we normally discuss and we talk about is shafa'at. مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُلْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا. Is to recommend, make a recommendation for a person. In Urdu they say sifarish, in Arabic they say shafa'at, and in English we say recommendation. Right? Now the word shafa'at comes from the word shafa'. وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. So even and the odd. So shafa means the even and watr means the odd, right? So why is this called the even and why is this called the odd, right? This is called the even because when a person is weak, he can't talk for himself, he needs someone's support, someone to be backing him up, right? When he's got the support of someone, he can speak and he can express himself. Without that person, he can't express himself. So he needs someone's backing up, someone's recommendation, someone supporting him. So now, when he's paired up, now he can present his case nicely. But if he's not paired up, then he can't present his case. So therefore you say the even was shaf'i wal watr. مَنْ يَشْفَعَ الشَّفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُلْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا. You make a good recommendation, will get a share in the reward. A wrong recommendation, then you will get a share in the sin. So a good recommendation for a good cause, then you're getting a share in that sawab. Whatever came out of it afterwards, you must get your share of the reward. Someone asked Ustaz Rahmatullah Ali, but you know, Faraz namaz is such that you can only do it once in the day. Like we read our Asr namaz now, right? Allah Bakhsh grace, Allah Bakhsh fazal. But can we ever repeat that Asr namaz of this day? Can't. So one day, and only one Asr namaz to your credit. You can't double it, you can't triple it. Just one day, and one Asr namaz to your credit. But now you saw a Asr namaz, the reward of it is so magnificent. But only one Asr I can do for this time here. How can I multiply? How can I multiply my reward? So there is a way how you are going to multiply your reward of that Asr. The way is this, that you invite others for your Asr namaz. Asr namaz that you're reading, you invite others. So if you're going to invite 10 people, you will get your reward plus the reward of these 10 people, because you had recommended namaz to them. You had recommended them to namaz. When you recommended them to namaz, then addallu alal khayri kafaili. You're doing a good, you're guiding someone, so you get the reward equally. You see that? Such an easy, simple approach, that you guided him, you spoke to him about namaz, he came for namaz, so you're not getting just one single namaz. If you want namaz sawab, the sawab of that person also you're getting. He's going to get his share of the sawab. But you will get also his share of the sawab. Addallu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi. So you make a good recommendation, you're getting the reward. Now, a recommendation or invitation doesn't have to be done in a formal style. One is to do it in a formal style, in the form of ghash, right? You can call the person, brought him to the masjid. That's a good way, right? Good way, you encourage the way. But it's not restricted to that. You can call him from your office. You're in the office now. How are you? You did some business with him. And then somehow, nicely, you encouraged him for Asr namaz. You call him over for tea or samosas, a little bit, right? Whatever you called him for. And gave him some samosa, showed him some ikram and respect. And then he said, alright, how about joining us for Asr namaz? He got the taste now. He's become punctual on his Asr namaz. So you're getting your reward plus the reward of this person here. So that invitation doesn't have to be done in a very formal way, informal way. However you can do it, however you can talk to the person that's left to you. A good recommendation, you're getting a share of the reward. And a recommendation for a wrong, then you're getting a share of the wrong as well. مَنْ أَعَانَ عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ مُسْلِمٍ بِشَطْرِ كَلِمَةٍ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ مَكْتُوبٌ بَيْنَ أَيْنَيْهِ A'isum min rahmatillah. Right. You encourage someone, or you suggested to someone, alright, this person here, we're going to finish him up, right? Suggested, you recommended, you encouraged, you incited, this person here, we're going to give him a piece of our mind, we're going to show him what we'll do. So now, you supported the case, you recommended the case, and then you all did whatever you all did, right? But now what is going to be the consequence? The consequence on the day of Qiyamah, you meet Allah Ta'ala, on your forehead it's already written there, this person has got nothing to do with the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. He's cut off. A'isum min rahmatillah, is deprived. He's despondent, lost hope of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So, a mu'min is so valuable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Al-mu'minu akhul mu'min. لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يسلمه. He's your brother, boy. You don't hurt him, not cruel towards him, you won't forsake him. When he needs the help, you assist him, you support him. He needs a word of encouragement, give him that word of encouragement. our style now is that I will have all the best and I give you the rest. No. I will enjoy, I will let you enjoy. In fact, I'll let you enjoy a little more than what I enjoy. I don't want to keep it for myself. I will let you enjoy a little more than what I enjoy. Now that's the way of a Muslim, that's the way the Sahaba Kiram, I will let you enjoy more than I enjoy. So you see, a recommendation, a good recommendation and a bad recommendation. You can recommend for a good cause, you can recommend for a wrong cause. Normally, recommendations are done for business, for marriages, for proposals, etc. You make a recommendation for a person. Why? The person can't express himself, he can't talk for himself, he can't stand himself. So he needs someone to come and support him, someone to talk for him. The next person presents his case, then it's accepted. In yashfa, yushaffa. If he makes a recommendation, the recommendation is accepted. In takhtib, in yakhtib, yunkah. If he sends a proposal, the proposal is accepted, right? So the man has got something about him. He knows how to present himself. He can express himself. He can present himself, right? So now this recommendation, there is a good recommendation, there is a bad recommendation. But now what we need to know about recommendation is, what are the parameters of the recommendation? Within what parameters must we live? We make a recommendation, we encourage, but to what extent? Is the recommendation done without any parameters, without any borders, just do it as you want, whatever comes in front of you, just do it, or you do it within parameters? Someone asked an alim, make a recommendation for me. So he wrote a two lines. He says, in tu'ti فالمعطي هو الله وأنت المأجور وإن تمنع فالمانع هو الله وأنت المأجور وأنت المأزور. That if you, I'm recommending this, I'm asking you to do this person this favor. إن تعطي فالمعطي هو الله وأنت المأجور. If you do him this favor, if you do him this favor, then the giver is Allah Ta'ala. But for you being the means, you will get the reward, right? See, I'm making the recommendation that do this for him, right? So you help him out. The actual person he helped out was Allah Ta'ala. But in the process, you're getting reward. But if you are not in a position of fulfilling his request, don't worry about it, because فَالْمَانِعْ هُوَ اللَّهِ Who's stopping you from carrying it out? Allah Ta'ala is stopping you. وَأَنْتَ الْمَعْزُورِ You excused it. So there's nothing to stress about. If he did it, very good. If he couldn't do it, then it was not a problem. But overall, a Muslim's mind is, how can I make someone's life better? How can I make things happen for him? إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ To make the Muslim happy, to make him happy, to cheer him up. In our homes, that it's not just laws and regulations, do this, don't do this. It's a martial law in the home. We show more muhabbat and love. And some rules, alright, don't do this, don't do this. But there is an environment of muhabbat. So, the same spirit of muhabbat is carried and extended everywhere. And little do we realize that muhabbat has got such an important part, it has such an importance in our lives. Muhabbat, love. وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَبُّ The hadith says, that your iman is deficient if you can't show love. Showing love, that will complete and perfect your iman. You can't show love, then your iman is deficient. You did everything else, but you can't show love. Simple acts of love. Took someone for lunch, gave him tea, gave him a lift. He needed someone, you helped him out, right? But simple acts of love, simple acts where you can promote love. The whole life of Nabi Sallam, if you look at it from the beginning till the end, it's just promoting love and peace. It's love and peace. You meet the person saying, Assalamu alaikum, with a smile on the face, right? meeting him. So on these acts of love and muhabbat, see the warmth I felt in the handshake, or when he hugged me, the warmth that I felt, I can't forget that. Don't people say that? So Islam is all about promoting the cause of love and promoting the cause of peace. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's just law and order. And the law and order, we don't want anybody to enforce it onto us, but we want to enforce it on others. So then how is this love, how is it going to be promoted? How are we going to pass on that love to others? It's a product that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought up, right? And he wants us to market the thing. So we're going to market it with love. Barira radiallahu anha, she used to be a slave woman, freed by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Obviously, if she's freed by Aisha radiallahu anha, the greater chances are that it was the wealth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must have given some to Hazrat Aisha, right? And she must have freed Hazrat Barira radiallahu anha from her slavery. Now, you know, to free someone from bondage, what a great thing it is. How much is used? One slave, sometimes 15,000-20,000 dirhams, is over 200,000 rands. And one slave woman is freed out of bondage, right? Now, when a person is freed from slavery, he's got his freedom, then he's got a right. He's got an ikhtiyar, he's got a choice. You want to be keeping the same marriage, or you want to get out of the marriage. You were a slave, so you were in that marriage, but now you are no more a slave, you've got the right to walk out of this marriage. So that slave has got that additional right, slave woman has got the right, if she wants to walk out of the marriage, she can walk out, she doesn't need to have a formal divorce. So she's got a right to get out of the marriage. She doesn't have to wait for a formal divorce. She says, I want out of this marriage, she can go out of the marriage. Anyway, she preferred to going out of the marriage. When she preferred going out of the marriage, her husband, Mughis, he can't do without his wife. He's going around the street and he's crying. Dumu'u yajri ala khaddi. Tears are streaming down. Imagine what would happen to you. You think of Mughis, but if your wife left, you said, I got a right, I want to leave, go away. Kya hoga? You don't think about it also. I can see from your face, you don't think about it. You feel so difficult. So the same thing was that happened to Mughis, that his wife said, no, I want out of this marriage, I want to go my way. Well, for whatever reason, Allah knows, but she's got the right, and she exercised her right, and she moved out of the marriage. Now Nabi Sam is seeing her, Mughis, and Mughis is going around and he's crying. He can't hold himself. So Nabi Sam intercedes, he recommends, makes a recommendation for Mughis anhu to his wife, Balira. Okay, why don't you have some sympathy for this man? Yeah, get back. Now look at this Sahaba Kiram, there's several things that comes out in this hadith. As Barira asked Nabi Sam, is this your instruction or it is just a recommendation? If it's your instruction, may the sir ankopar. If it's your instruction, then I will honor this, I will respect it, I will embrace it with cheer, if it is your command. But if it is just a proposal, it's just a suggestion, then I got no interest in this man. I'm not interested in him. Now look at the whole background. It was perhaps the wealth of Nabi Sam that was used to get this woman free. Nabi Sam is making a recommendation and she feels that she is in a position that she doesn't want to accept this. But there's no resistance, there's no coercion that is used. Now, if I have done you a favor today, right? I introduced, say for example, you know, you didn't have a certain line in your shop. I made a recommendation, you got the thing working. And you're making good money out of it, right? Tomorrow I come around making a recommendation of someone to work in your shop and you turn him down. Yeah. Well, you were right down, I brought you up. And you were you know, rock down, rock bottom you were, I brought you up. And today you just ignore me. Hey, nama karam, you got no sugar in you. Now look at Nabi Sam's response. He made the recommendation. Barira is not comfortable, right? She says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm not interested in this man. Nabi Sam did not say anything for the second time. But you're not interested, you're not interested. Just leave it at that. We will not pursue this case any longer. Finished. Now see parameters. So if you want to make the recommendation, you make the recommendation, but understand parameters as well. Now you force the person and he does something after your coercion and you think, no, hey, I made it happen. It's a marriage and it was, you know, your recommendation that came with force. Man felt, he felt suppressed and he gave in. But he's not happy about it, right? It's a masjid that is being built and we need some funds, right? So we take Mr. So-and-so so that he's influenced, right? So the man feels a little bit suppressed now. He feels suppressed now. The man came here and we don't give him anything. How do we look here? It won't look nice. You know? Such an important person came and we turned him around. So we're not supposed to give him. We're supposed to give him something, say 100 rands. Now this man came up now and just because of his presence we are being obliged. We don't want to give. But now we're thinking, hey, this man came in and because of him we have to consider, make this consideration and don't give him 100 rands, give him 10,000 rands. But are you giving it with your happiness, with the happiness of the heart? So when it's not given with the happiness of the heart, then the hadith says, لا يحل مال امرئ مؤمن إلا بطيب نفس منه. The money that has come hasn't come with happiness. When it didn't come with happiness, there's no good in that. You're going to get that money coming in, but there's no joy. It's not halal. It's not permissible. So you'll get the masjid built, but then you will not get that level of acceptance. Because the money came not in the right way. When it didn't come in the right way, so you're not going to get that type of result. Contrary to that, if the man had just given 100 rands, and the 100 rands came with the happiness of his heart, there will be barakat in that, there will be goodness in that. Yeah, you got 10,000. So this is a problem today, that we're looking at quantity, we're not looking at quality. That 100 rands that came with quality can do much more than the 10,000 that came without that quality. Came, but there's no quality in it. Look at it, 100 rands, that is official, right? Is that easier to trade with? Or 10,000 rand that is uplang. What is easier to trade with? You know, do an official trade, 100 rands that came officially, or 10,000 rand that came through uplang. What is easier to trade with? Even this, in this world here, the same standard is accepted. The government is recognizing this money, they're not recognizing this money here. So what you're going to get with the 100 rand, you can't get with the 10,000 rand. The hereafter, all the more, what's coming pure, clean, with the goodness of the heart, is far in excess of that which is coming through coercion, extortion, exploitation. Now Nabi Sam is not showing any type of reservation. You know, you are free, you're enjoying because of me, my wealth. And today you can't even just go back to this man here. You've got no shame in you. No. Nabi Sam didn't say a word. Now that's called shafaat, that's called recommendation. Ishfa'u faltujaru. Recommend and you get the reward. After that, وَلْيَقْدِ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ رَسُولِي مَا يَشَىٰ. Whatever happens, you're going to get your rewards. Why are you worried? Why are you stressing? You did the recommendation, you went and spoke, you're going to get the reward for it. Whether things worked out or didn't work out, it's not your problem. Now, what I want to show you here is, one is the parameters, right? And what is supposed to be a Muslim behavior? I will do for a Muslim. I will work for him. I'll make him happy. In fact, in the past, it was not just for a Muslim. Even if a kafir came around, and they will do for a kafir as well. Anwar Siddiq Sahib Bandwi Rahmatullahi, Buzurg of recent times, passed away about 20 years ago, right? 1997, 98. So he used to get his groceries from a certain Hindu shop. One day he goes to the shop, so the whole shop is in tears. You can see his children, everybody is in tears. What happened? mara papa mar gaya, our father passed away. So the children all worried now, what's going to happen to our future, what's going to happen to us. One Muslim, and Maulana actually is doing him a favor, buying the groceries from him. But they saw Maulana, the respect they have, see. When a Muslim conducts himself rightly, then even the non-Muslim shows the respect. Actually it's supposed to be the other way around, because he's giving the business, and they're supposed to be kind towards him. Here, they have got that confidence, that respect for Maulana. He's doing them the business, giving them the business, and he's still showing kindness. Now these children, young, perhaps marriageable age, 15, 17 years of age, they're marriageable, and they're kind. Now what's going to happen to us? So Maulana told them very, very respectfully, your papa is gone, I'll be your papa. And I will ensure that you get married, good homes. All the daughters, sons, whoever need to get married, was the last one of them married. Now, one, they show respect to him. And one, that leave the right mark in their hearts. See this Muslim, when our brothers were out for us, nobody was for us, man had gone, yeah, he came and replaced us. And he had nothing, we weren't sharing the same faith. But just because we were stranded, he brought us up and he took us to this point here. Now this is Islam, see. That we do, not only for Muslims, we do, it's creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, there is a question of priority. How do we prioritize ourselves, right? First ourselves, then our family, then our friends, then Muslims, then non-Muslims as well. Kindness, then we don't restrict our kindness. Just to ourselves, only our people know. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِمْنَ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Don't you think now that because of your wealth, you will allow guidance and hidayat to spread? Hidayat, وَلَكِمْنَ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي. Allah Ta'ala grants hidayat. It's not your work. You carry on your work of kindness, your good work, your works of compassion and kindness, you carry on. The hidayat is Allah's work. So Sayyid, alright, he was not known to be a religious person. In religious circles, not a known person. Alright, he was the Muslim that started out the first Muslim university in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. He was the first person that did it. So as I say, he's not known for his religiousness. He may have slipped up here and there, but definitely he had a heart of gold, right? One person is looking for a job, so he went to a government department looking for a job. So in the interview, he says to the person that is interviewing him, I am the son-in-law of Sir Sayyid Saab. Now, in that time, in that zamana, Sir Sayyid was held up in esteem, out of respect. Because the English had awarded him with the title Sir, and then if his name was taken anywhere, they respected that name. So he says that I am the son-in-law of Sir Sayyid, and I need to have a job. So anyway, this man said, alright, just hold on. He went and he made his own inquiry. That zamana, you're talking about 150, 160 years ago, whether there was telegram or phone, whatever, whichever way, he contacted Sir Sayyid and says, you know, this person has come up to me, he's wanting a job, and he says that he is your son-in-law. Is it right or not? Sir Sayyid Saab's reply came in, yes, he is my son-in-law, and you better see to it that you confirm the job for him. Anyways, happy he got the job, where there was nobody to work in his house. Now he started working, earning, looking after his whole house, household and family, etc. 6-7 months down the line, and his vacation time, so he said, let me go and show my appreciation to Sir Sayyid. But he secured the job for me, otherwise I was on the streets. I didn't have any job, any security I had. He secured me the job, so let me go and show him some thanks. He went up. I said, you know, main wo shareer insaan, I am that terrible person. I used your name to secure this job here. And you supported the whole cause, so I just came to offer my appreciation. The token I came up to you. Now, Sayyid's response, immediate response was, you know, it's a pity that I've just got two daughters and both have been settled in marriage. Had I had the third daughter, I would have offered it to you. But now what can I do? I've only got two daughters. But nonetheless, now that you have used my name, until I am around, then you will be like my son-in-law and your wife will be treated like my daughter. The respect that I show my daughters, I will show your wife. And the respect that I show to my son-in-laws, I will show to you. And he meant it. It wasn't just lip service thereafter. He meant what he said. Until he was alive, he called them, showed them the respect, like how daughters, you'll give them gifts, etc., throw them, make them happy, send them wherever they need to go, Hajj, Umrah, etc. He did everything. But you see the feelings, the respect. So how these people thought is, hum kisi ke deen ke liye kuch kar na sake, kam se kam dunya unka bana de, we couldn't do anything for their deen, let us at least do something for their dunya. Though we were misused, right? Someone can turn the whole thing around. Ah, you, number kharab, you chore, you're a fraud, use my name. What do you think of yourself? My name is the gutters, you just use anywhere you want. Who are you? Who you are? I put you in your place. That would have been today's response. And the response of the time, of the people in the past, was Islam is to promote love. Islam is to promote peace. How can we do it? How can I do it? Some love here, some... Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that when the reckoning will start, the Hisab Kitab will start on the day of Qiyamah, then nobody's namaz will be equivalent to the majesty of Allah Ta'ala. Imagine the majesty of Allah Ta'ala. You know, you look at this galaxy and Milky Way and all that. This earth doesn't look even like a dot. It's so small. Now look at the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So when the majesty of Allah ta'ala that is perceivable, then to be seen to be so minuscule, right? Then our namaz, how much more minuscule that will be. So nothing is in comparison to the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His greatness, his splendor, and his grandeur is too much, right? So when Allah Pak starts off the process of Hisab Kitab, nothing will be equivalent to His Majesty. But then Allah Ta'ala will start favoring people and He will start forgiving people on account of some endurance that you had went through. You endured Him, you tolerated Him, you forgave Him, you overlooked His fault, overlooked His mistake. He was hurting you, harassing you, He was being a pain in the neck for you. But with all these shortcomings, you forgave Him, you were compassionate towards Him, He was kind towards Him, did everything for Him. He swore you made dua for Him. He embarrassed you, you respected Him, you honored Him. So for these acts of compassion and love, Allah Ta'ala just elevated you, forgave you. See that, you know, we say kindness, akhlaq. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi, he was known as the state wrestler. You know, if there's an international match now, international, that he used to be called the straight wrestler, so powerful, so strong. Everybody comes in and he throws the person down. So the straight wrestler. One old man, frail, hardly can walk properly, and he says, no, I want to challenge Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi. I want to challenge him. Now there's a whole hue and cry. Old man came, can hardly walk properly, he needs a stick to walk. And here he is challenging Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi. You know, so this is going to be a match, and a match of its kind. But it looks like this man got some magic. They're too excited to see this very big crowd in the stadium. Huge crowd. And as they're encountering this man, he just whispered something in the ear of other Junaid, rahmatullah alayhi. And with a small little stroke, this old man managed to drop Junaid for the first time. For the second time, for the third time. Anyway, big compliments and people are praising this old man so strong that he could put down the state wrestler. Junaid rahmatullah sees in his dream, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, oh Junaid, you have honored my descendant. It was my descendant, my Olad, right? And you have honored him. What he whispered in the ears, that you see, I am the Olad of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and today I'm in financial constraints. Right? I've just challenged you so that I can get the royal gift. I can get the royal award. That's why I challenge you. I am not fit to be wrestling. I can't come into the ring here. But I am in constraints. Really, I am in constraints. And that wealth perhaps will help me to see my family and to see to my needs. So that's why I challenge you. Otherwise, I am not a wrestler. Now, in consideration and respect of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he allowed himself to be dropped. For the first time, for the second time, for the third time. That you have honored my descendant, today I will honor you. And from there, from that point onwards, it has begun to escalate. Until now, it's over 1200 years that have passed, we still talk of Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, his excellence, his words of advice, the good that he had done, and the good that is flowing of the man. See this recommendation. Try and support some good. Whichever way, however you can support that good, but you support the cause of goodness, of righteousness, of virtue, kindness, some way or the other, whichever way is possible, but we do it. And as I say, our work is just to make the recommendation. If it happens, very good. If it doesn't happen, we don't have to stress. وَلْيَقْفَعُوا فَلْتُوْجَرُوا You're going to get your reward. No matter what, whether that work of his was accomplished, not accomplished, it went through or didn't go through, it happened for him or didn't happen for him, but you did that recommendation, you're going to get the reward for it. Hazrat Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullahi, he made a recommendation for someone in paper, you know, he wrote the recommendation, gave it to the person to go and deliver it, right? So that person got very annoyed. And he says, tell Shah Ishaq Sahib, so use some nasty words, go and shove it. Go and shove it. So this person came back to the Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he says, well, I went and made the recommendation, and this is what this person says, go and shove it. Now look at Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullahi, he says, had I known that tumara kaam ban jayega, that you, your work will be done, if I have to shove it, I will do that as well for you. He didn't look at it negatively. I'm such a big buzrug, you know. I'm such a great person, of such standing, right? And man supposed to be respecting me, today he's insulting me. May Allah's curse be upon him. But he says, that if I know that your work can be done by me doing this, I will do that as well. Because he knows now, to help out a Muslim, to talk for him, to see him, to allow him to progress, to let him go forward, what a reward it is. Really, we don't think about life in this manner, and therefore our wealth is used in all wasting. Sometimes, doing up the house, going unnecessary trips, right? Unnecessary clothing, motor cars, so many things that are not really required in life, our money is being all channeled in the wrong places. So little is being used for the right thing, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, taking it to the right direction, so little is being used, most of it. I was reading one article, or someone got married in London somewhere, an ordinary person, but he could bust £700,000 for just one wedding, just one night, £700,000, how much it will be? I'm sure it will be at least more than 7 million rand, just one night you could spend that thing. Now where the money is gone, from the deco, a little bit of show, a little bit of attraction, all the money is busted, used up. The last level of recommendation, we spoke about recommendation, but the last level is, if we are not in a position to make a recommendation through our status, our standing, our position, our influence, the last level is, make 2 rakat namaz, make dua for that brother. What does it take you? Tumhara kaam kya bigrega? If you make dua for your brother, for your friend, will that harm you in any way? Will it cause any problems for you? But just to stand on the musalla, read 2 rakat namaz, cry to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala uska kaam bana de. Make it work for him. Like I say, Islam, what is Islam? To promote the message of love and to promote the message of peace. Anyway, you look at anything of Islam, it's a promoting of love, promoting of peace. That's the theme of Islam. From the beginning of the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the beginning of his life right till the end. Right from the beginning, right till the end, he's promoting this love and muhabbat. So the last thing, the least you can do, is make dua for that brother. And you making dua for that brother is to your advantage. You make dua for your brother, it doesn't mean that you're going to lose out, no. You making dua for him, it's to your own gain, to your own benefit, to your own advantage. Therefore the hadith says that when you will make dua for your brother, right, then Allah Pak appoints an angel to say, وَلَكَ بِمِثْلِ, may you receive the same thing. What you're asking for him, may you gain the same thing. So an easy way to get your du'as answered, if you need something, then make du'a for your brother. Allah will grant it to him. And ask his all sincerity, Allah will grant it to him. Grant that to him. You will at least get the du'a of the malaika, the purest creation of Allah Ta'ala. Then may you be blessed with the same thing that you're asking for. You're asking for him, but may Allah Ta'ala bless you as well. Allah Pak tawfiq naseeb kare.